I'd like to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 39. Now, one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, "Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? We indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Book of the Acts, chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 29. Having asked for light, he rushed in and trembling fell down before Paul and Silas. Leading them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." They spoke to him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed them from their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And having brought them into his house, he laid the table for them, and rejoiced with all his house, having believed in God. Epistle to the Romans, in chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and verse 38. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now one other verse in a psalm. Psalm 4, the fourth psalm, and verse 5. "Offer sacrifices of righteousness and confide." The footnote to that verse, "confide in Jehovah," says, implying security without anxiety. Who can offer you, my friend, security without anxiety? Men do a lot in order to make things secure. They spend a lot of the resources in seeking to secure the properties, to ensure that there's no breach of security. They do a lot to secure the finances. But who can offer a security without anxiety? Only one, and that is God. Tonight, he's offering men and women and boys and girls like you here tonight, he's offering you a security that you need never worry about at all. As men spend the resources seeking to make all about them secure, they forget about the most important possession they have. They ignore the most important possession they have, the possession of a never dying soul. Yes, they ignore security as far as that is concerned. But God in the gospel offers a soul security, a soul salvation for time and for all eternity. This man, this thief, it was the last day in his life. When he woke that morning, he would know it was the last day of his life. You think of that, you young ones. You're not thinking of dying. But this man, when he woke from his sleep this morning, would know that he would never see another day. This was the day that he was going to die. This was the day that he was going to pass from time to eternity. And I think as that day wore on, the stirrings in his conscience would begin.
the stirrings in his heart would begin that he had no security for eternity. Oh, my friend, you cannot pass from time into eternity without something to lean on, without something to rely on. I've told the story often about the infidel Voltaire, who all his lifetime had refused any knowledge of God. And on his deathbed, there, helpless, dying, his friends gathered around him, saying, "Voltaire, hang on, Voltaire." He says, "I've nothing to hang on to, nothing. No rock, no security, no firm rock." And he passed some time into a lost eternity. Oh friend, in the gospel tonight, God offers you, sinner friend, he offers you a secure eternity. How can he do it? He can offer you it on the basis of the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. The same day that this thief died, that same morning, another man was wakened. "He wakeneth mine ear morning by morning." Jesus was wakened, the Lord of glory, and sober consideration, this was the day that the Lord of glory was going to die. But ere he died, that dying thief met him on a cross, crucified there and alongside him, one Jesus, the Lord of glory, and there, dying on that tree, he found in Christ someone that could give him the assurance of a security without anxiety. We all have anxieties. We worry about this. We worry about that. There's one thing we need worry about no longer, and that is the security of our souls. Because by virtue of the work of Jesus on Calvary's cross, there is a basis, a firm basis, a rock-like basis, whereby sinners like you and I can pass from time into eternity, assured, secure, in the knowledge that our soul salvation is eternally secured. What a message in the gospel. Peace and salvation he'll give you today. We sang of that. Do not delay. Well, this is the story of the dying thief. How anxious he must have been. He knew about the insecurity of man, the insecurity of man's affairs. As a thief, he had preyed on these insecurities. He'd used his skills to show up these insecurities of man. But here he was, facing an article, the article of death, that he had no escape from. He had no security in the presence of. Nothing but a lost eternity awaited him. No preparation for what was ahead. And there he met a man. Calvary's Hill, he met a man who could settle his wrongdoings, who could settle the matter of his sins, who in his own body bore these sins away by dying on the tree. This is the secure basis that God, on which God draws near to sinners like you and I, and with authority says to persons like you and me, "I can offer you a security that's got no anxiety attached to it at all." Do you know anything that man can provide that gives that kind of guarantee? You know, these insurance companies, they say, guaranteed for so often, guaranteed for 5 years, for 10 years. The guarantee I can give you on the basis of the blood of Christ is an eternal guarantee, because the work of Christ has been such that it has wrought an eternal redemption, secured a redemption so that sinners like you and I can go entirely free and be happy before our God. Well, this dying thief referred to in the hymn, "Redemption's earliest trophy stood, from sin and death retrieved." There he was. You might say a brand plucked from the burning. still going to die, but facing death now with the assurance of his faith in a man of whom he said, "This man has done nothing amiss." My friend, you do not need to know all about him. You do not need to know all the story of the glad tidings. What you do need to know is you need to know that you've got a link with Jesus, a link with his precious Savior, that you trust him, that your faith is in him. I don't even think this dying thief had an appreciation of the blood of Christ. All he had appreciation of was the person of Christ. This man has done nothing amiss. You know, in the Old Testament, the smallest sin offering was an ephah of fine flour. That was the smallest sin offering. What does it mean? That someone who has got the simplest impression of Jesus, and on that basis has put their trust in Jesus, is enough. That faith is enough to justify you before God. Justifies those who, that work hard, that accomplish good works, is the justifier of those of the faith of Jesus. Oh, young friend, you girls and boys, learn in your early years to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, to have a personal link with the Lord Jesus and find him as your Savior. He went to Calvary's cross to die for you, to die for sinners like you and me. That's why he came into this world. Paul says, "Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world." What for? To save sinners. Wonderful grace to save sinners like you and like me. Do you know the saving power of the love of Jesus as it draws your heart towards him and tells you about what he's done to meet your sins and to bear them away? These sins that put a distance between the sinner and his God, they're all gone as you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus at Calvary. So he went to the cross. He offered assurance to this thief. He died for him. What a death. There made sin. He who knew not sin made sin. The perfect sin offering offered to God, and there God's judgment on sin poured out. What a solemn occasion is the cross of Christ. What a solemn scene. There, the one man in whom perfect goodness had shone out in a world of sin, and that one man has made sin, God's wrath and holy anger against sin was poured out. There was no mitigation. There was no alleviation for Jesus as he bore the penalty, sin's penalty, at the hands of his God. Thanks be to God, he bore it, and he bore it alone. And now, God, on the basis of that judgment of sin at Calvary, is saying to sinners, "Yes, you can be free. You can be secure in the knowledge that your sins have been covered by the work of Christ. Your sins have been covered by the blood of Christ, and you have nothing to do but go perfectly free." Isn't it grand, my friend? Isn't it grand that the basis on which our salvation is secured is not my works or your works, but it's the work of another? If it had been your works, wouldn't you have boasted about it? If it had been my works, wouldn't I have boasted about it? But you know, he hasn't taken that route at all. He's taken the route of the work of Christ. And the boast, the sinner's boast, the sinner who's saved by God's grace, his boast is in the work of Christ and in no other work. So this man says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." You know, if he'd only answered that request, he'd have to wait. He'd have to wait at least 2,000 years for the kingdom of Christ, because the kingdom of Christ hasn't been revealed publicly yet. He'd still be waiting. But what was the word of Jesus to him? "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He passed from time into eternity. in the knowledge of having a link with Christ, in the knowledge of having eternal security. Oh, my friend, I plead with you tonight to come to the Lord Jesus and prove the value of his finished work, and find that on the basis of that rock, the rock which is the work of Christ, the rock which is the person of Christ, on that firm and sure basis, you can stand before God, secure, justified, happy, and free. The next man I read about was the jailer. He put his prisoners into the stocks. They put them into the prison, into their cells. And no doubt he thought the whole thing had been secure. Went to bed. Put his head on the pillow this night. I suppose in the sense that he had done his duty, done a good day's work, that's what he was paid for. His head on the pillow, went to sleep. No doubt thinking well in the morning what he would do. But God spoke to him that night. He didn't wait till the morning. He spoke to him first in terror and then in grace. And he used these two speakings, the speaking of the earthquake and then the speaking of the words of grace, to bring salvation into this man's life. This man knew what security was as far as men were concerned, but he hadn't a clue about soul security. But there, that night passed over him. This man was brought into the security of what God's salvation means. He rushes into these men and he says, "Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved?" A simple question, you know, a very simple question. Let me ask you, are you saved? You know, when I was a little boy, the preacher sometimes, at the end of his preaching, he stood up at the door, and the question he would ask you is, "Are you saved?" And you always used to try and avoid him, because it was a question you just knew deep down in your heart that it wasn't true. You weren't saved. But the question came, anyhow, are you saved? And that's the question I'd like to ask you tonight, you little ones. Are you saved? You say, "How can I be saved?" That's what this man said. Well, you can be saved by one way. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. This is the way your father and mother were saved, by putting their trust in Jesus. This is the only way that you can be saved, by putting your trust in Jesus and in his precious work that he did at Calvary. And on the basis of that trust, God would say to you, security, salvation, it's all yours. You say, isn't there any more? Isn't it a bit simple? Yes, it's very simple. God's plan of salvation for the sinner is so simple that the youngest can understand it and the oldest can enjoy it. As I look at this county tonight, I would like the youngest to understand it, and I'm sure I know that the oldest enjoy it. God's plan of salvation, not formed on the basis of the wisdom of this world, but formed on the basis of his own wisdom that thought it out and brought it to pass by virtue of Christ's death at Calvary's cross. So he says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they spoke to him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed them from their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Having brought them into his house, he laid the table and rejoiced with all his house, having believed in God. What a difference in this man's life. I'd have liked to have met him that morning, you know. No time to meet the thief. We'll meet him in a day to come. Won't it be interesting to listen to him? The story of how he was saved by the man who was crucified beside him. Won't it be interesting to listen to the story of this jailer, who, by virtue, by way of that earthquake that struck terror into his heart at one moment, that shook the foundations of the prison, but did more, shook the foundations on which his life was based, shook it to such an extent that his conscience was pricked, and brought him to the realization of his situation before God, a sinner before God, and brought him also to listen to these words of Paul: believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. You know, the gospel is so simple. I would just like that even the youngest might, in the faith of their heart tonight, just trust this wonderful person who went all the way to Calvary's tree in order to meet your need, to die for you, that you might be eternally secure. Of course, there's much more. There's much more. There's forgiveness of sins in the gospel. But security involves so much more. Paul, when he speaks at the end of Romans 8, he's speaking as a persuaded Christian, as one who's been persuaded as to what the gospel has brought into his life. Persuaded that by faith in Christ, not only has he got eternal security, but he's got salvation now. On the principle, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, we have peace towards God. Peace towards God. That's what God brings into the heart. Where there's been trouble, where the conscience has been disturbed, God brings peace on the same basis. Faith in Christ, the principle of faith. That on the basis of my works or your works, on the basis of the work of another, who died, who went into the grave, and was raised for our justification. Oh, what a work was the work of Jesus. Raised that you might be justified, that I might be justified. So you're not justified in what you've done, but you're justified in Him. Raised for our justification. What a victory for God. What a triumph for God. Having secured that basis on Calvary's cross, taken Jesus out of the grave, raised Him by His glory, seated Him at His right hand, He can offer Him as the justification of the sinner. What do we know of being justified before such a God? You know, if you're a wrongdoer in the course of this world, you suffer for your wrongdoing. You never finish your sentence with a sense of being justified. But when you come to God's court, when you come up to God and plead the blood of Christ, He forgives you, and on the basis of that finished work, He sends you away justified. Not even having the stigma of your sinnership about you. What a God, a Savior God, a God of love, a God whose very breathings toward His creature is love. Oh, He longs for the salvation of His creature. He looks out in this world tonight, you know. He sees the ruin. He sees the difficulties of men. And His heart yearns after His creature. Feeling Himself in security, but no security. Scripture tells us about a day when they will say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction. And they shall in no wise escape. Judgment of God lies on this world. Shortly it will be executed. Tonight there is a way of escape. Where is it? A way of escape is in Christ and in His finished work. Someone in the Old Testament was told, escape to the mountain. Tonight I tell you, escape to the sight of Christ, to the blood of Christ. Plead His precious blood. You know, He's never turned a deaf ear to the faintest pleading, if it was the pleading of the blood of Christ. On that basis, He looks on that blood and offers salvation and a perfect peace and a perfect pardon. So Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, look at the list of things, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. This is security without anxiety. Anxious about death, anxious about life, anxious about things present, things to come, anxious about these things, security without anxiety to be known by believers in Christ now. Let me ask the question of everyone here, because I'm aware I'm speaking to many who have the faith of Christ in their hearts. Do you know this kind of security? Are you persuaded like a Paul? Persuasion comes in time. It's not something that happens overnight. It came in time with Paul. I am persuaded, he says. A plant of growth, you know. Slow growth. But he comes to it, I am persuaded. Oh, to be a persuaded Christian. To be a persuaded believer. The same man presents the gospel to a king, King Agrippa. And he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, I wish tonight that everyone here is persuaded. Persuaded about the kind of safe security that God alone can give. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God has placed all his blessings for men in one place. You don't have to search around for them. They're all located in one place. They're all located in one person. And that is the person of the man Christ Jesus. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, that's my simple message. That every soul here may come in to the knowledge of a security that's absolutely safe. Cannot be breached. It cannot be broken in upon. Because it's based on a sure foundation. It's based on a rock-like foundation. And God tonight, on the basis of that, is offering it to every person in this world. Encouraging them, inviting them to come into his favor, to know the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's his favor. May we come into it. And the way into it is by believing in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless the world. Could we sing that hymn 439? Jesus lingers still, 'tis for you he